endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. That the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned the first debtor and said to him, 'You wicked servant! I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from the heart." The Gospel of the Lord. The whole purpose of Lent is to become like God, holy as He is holy, perfect as He is perfect, merciful as He is merciful. And we see the transformation that's supposed to occur in today's gospel. It's one of the most important parables to understand where mercy fits in to God's relationship to us and our relationship to everybody else. Parable of the two debtors. First one is brought in and he owes, as we've talked about before, 10,000 talents. And one talent was worth 6,000 days of work. So he owed him 60 million days of work. If the person were being paid $100 a day in today's money, that would mean $6 billion he owed. And he dropped down on his knees and begged for mercy. "Just give me time, and I will pay you back in full." And the time he would need at that rate would be 164,271 years. He'd never pay it back. It was a totally unpayable debt. But moved with schwanknitzomai, moved with a gut-bursting mercy, the master who represents God remitted the entire debt, all of it written away. He didn't even ask him to pay back what he could. Gone. What an incredibly transformative act that should have been. But it didn't transform him. He went out and he met a man who, in St. Matthew's original text, I still don't know why the translator doesn't use the terms Matthew does and just uses large and much smaller. But he owed him 100 denarii, 100 days' wages. By the same figure, $10,000, a payable debt within 2 or 3 months. And when this man did exactly the same actions, fell down on his knees, begged him for time, saying he would pay him back in full, the one who had just been forgiven $6 billion, who had probably loaned out the $10,000 out of that $6 billion, throttled him at the neck, and threw him into jail until the whole debt be repaid. And the first creditor, hearing about it, called him back and called him wicked and said, "Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" And this is ultimately the mystery of divine mercy. God has remitted every debt, every sin, including the sin of crucifixion of his son. Having been loved like this and have been forgiven so much, we have got to be merciful to everybody, not just giving somebody an eighth chance, as St. Peter posited. The Pharisees at the time, misinterpreting a passage from the book of Amos, thought that you had to forgive somebody three times. You had to give somebody up to a fourth chance. Peter doubled it and added one for good measure and brought up that biblical number seven. As many as seven times, Jesus replied, 77. Whether that means 77 or 490 doesn't matter. Seven's a biblical number meaning infinity. It means we're supposed to forgive others always, just like the Father never ceases to forgive us. And this is about as challenging a teaching as it gets, perhaps more difficult than even loving our enemies. But God, who calls us to it, will give us his richness in mercy to make it possible. But having been forgiven so much, the meaning of a Christian life is to share this mercy. St. Patrick got this message. St. Patrick, as I mentioned to you at the beginning of the Mass, his first words in his confessio were, "I am Patrick, a sinner." When he was about to be taken into slavery, he said, he realized that he deserved it because he had gone away from God and didn't keep his commandments. I wouldn't listen to my priest who advised me how I could be saved. About all their instruction he was ignoring, he said, "My sins prevented me from really taking in what I read." Much like when Pope Francis was interviewed that first time in September of 2013, and he was asked, "Who is Jorge Maria Bergoglio?" And he said, "I am a sinner, but a sinner much loved by the Lord." So the great St. Patrick recognized just the depths of his sinfulness, how he had cut himself off from the Lord, and how the Lord, in his mercy, allowed him to be captured in slavery to give him a chance to turn things around. He realized later that his slavery was a great blessing of the Lord because, he said, "I know for certain that before I was brought low, I was like a stone lying deep in the mud. Then he was powerful, came, and in his mercy pulled me out and lifted me up and placed me on the very top of a wall." By that he meant so that he could see things clearly. "He looked down on my lowliness and had mercy on my youthful ignorance. He guarded me before I even knew him, before I came to wisdom and could distinguish between good and evil. He protected me and consoled me as a father does his son." And that experience of God's mercy thoroughly changed him. As he was there in the fields as a slave shepherd, he began to pray during the day and pray sometimes all night long to the God who had shown him that he existed and that he was forgiving. And once Patrick had the dream showing him the boat 200 miles away to which he would run, then he would find that boat and eventually get home to modern Wales, where he was from. He was there with his rejoicing family. He recognized that he couldn't keep that gift of mercy to himself. That one of the reasons why he was 6 years in slavery was to learn a language so that he could go back and share that same gift with those who had been his captors and those who were of the same culture. So he would write later in his Confessio, "That is why I can't be silent about such great blessings and such a gift that the Lord so kindly bestowed on me. This is how I can repay such blessings when our lives change and we come to know God, to praise and bear witness to his great wonders before every nation under heaven." His whole life had become a mission, in his words, to shout aloud in return to the Lord for such great good he does, here, now, and forever, that the human mind can never measure. And he sought to form a people through the reception of God's mercy, seeing in what happened in Ireland a modern commentary on God's words through the prophet Hosea. "Those who are not my people, I will call my people. And her who has not obtained mercy, I will name the one who has given mercy." Saint Patrick framed his entire mission as a mission of mercy. He had received 6 billion, and he would spend the whole rest of his life trying to make people rich. Today at this Mass, we identify with St. Patrick. We confess that we are sinners saved by the Lord's mercy. We come here to be strengthened by mercy incarnate, to receive that living water of merciful love that began to well up in us on the day of our baptism. We start Mass, as you know, by calling to mind our sins and throwing ourselves on God's mercy. We cry out, "Kyrie," and "Christe eleison." We invoke him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We proclaim we're not worthy to receive him, but beg him just to say a word so that our debts will be forgiven and he may be able to enter under our roof. And with mercy incarnate abiding within us, how can we not forgive others as he has forgiven us? This is the one time in the year in which we have a chance to ponder that prayer that the priest prays right before he washes his hands at Mass. It's from the first reading today from the prophet Daniel. "Spiritu militatis et in animo contrito, sicuripi amor te Domine, sic fiat sacrificium nostrum in conspectu tuo hodie, ut placiat tibi Domine Deus. With contrite heart and humble spirit, let us," not me, "let us be received by you, Lord. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today, that it may be pleasing to you, Lord God. We present ourselves with humility and contrition, so that God the Father can transform us by his mercy to become his mercy in the world." Let's present ourselves that way today, just like St. Patrick would do every morning in his breastplate prayer. Because the Lord does, as we prayed in the psalm, remember his mercy, and he wants to help us like he helped the patron of this archdiocese, never to forget that mercy and to help others come to know it, be transformed by it, and share it. Praise be Jesus Christ.